Big changes are coming to the Oregon public higher education system. The system of 7 state universities answering to one central board is coming to an end. In a matter of weeks, local governing boards come online for the University of Oregon, Oregon State, and Portland State. Boards for the 4 smaller schools are forming and will come online in a year. And then there's the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, in charge of keeping an eye on the process and operations. That commission meets in Ashland this week, which gives us a chance to chat in person with the chair and executive director. Tim Nesbitt is the chair of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. He's a writer and public policy consultant, former chief of staff to Governor Ted Kulongoski, and past president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. Tim Nesbitt, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Ben Cannon is with us as well, the executive director of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. He was the governor's education policy advisor for this governor. Cannon did serve also in the Oregon State House of Representatives and was a middle school teacher and a Rhodes Scholar. Ben Cannon, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So, Tim Nesbitt, let's start with you. The Higher Education Coordinating Commission does already exist, but it gets enhanced powers as of July 1st. Is that what happens?
As of July 1, yes, we enter into the bulk of our responsibilities as a coordinating commission. You've just described what's happening with the universities. It's also been described as a partnership that is focused on a tight, loose relationship where instead of a governing board tightly managing the affairs of our universities, we are going to be tightly focused on the goals of our system, but allowing more autonomy, authority, that's the loose part, for our institutions to pursue those goals. And that's why we're called a coordinating commission. We're not a governing board. And I see it very much as a responsibility for managing a new partnership in which our job will be to stay focused on student success, affordable access for all of our students, and better and more efficient pathways to degree completion, all those things which will enable us to achieve those 40-40-20 goals you may have heard about. We're looking at a 2025 deadline where 40% of our students will have 4-year degrees, 40% of our adult population will have 4-year degrees, 40% will have 2-year degrees and certificates, and the remaining 20% at least graduate from high school. That is focusing our minds right now on how we create the funding models and the organization of our system to achieve those very ambitious goals.
It should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that 40-40-20 equals 100%. The idea is everybody graduates from high school in the state of Oregon.
That's the big challenge for our K-12 system. And I want to also point out we're not thinking separately from our K-12 system. Our success as a Higher Education Coordinating Commission will depend on the success of our education system from preschool through high school. And a lot of the strategies for success involve more challenging high school years, more students graduating from high school with college credit, and all of them graduating college or career ready by the year 2025.
So is everybody referring to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission as HEC?
That's our abbreviated name, and the HEC met yesterday in the HEC, the Higher Education Center in Medford. Mm-hmm. Which is a good example of coordination between our universities and our community colleges. And eventually we'd like to see those kinds of centers extend to high school students as well, with college credit courses offered in high school.
So Ben Cannon, as the executive director of this HEC, the double C HEC, Higher Education Coordinating Commission, I mean, what is there to coordinate on a regular basis? What will staff do on a regular basis, given that some of these responsibilities have now shifted down, or will certainly over the course of the next year, to the governing boards at the 7 different institutions?
Yeah, the HEC, double C, has a few key responsibilities that we'll be working on in conjunction with our commission that Tim leads. One of them we've alluded to, which is developing the state's recommended budget and then allocating state dollars to public universities and community colleges. So there's a funding responsibility here that's quite important, and we'll be partnering with our institutions on a funding model that rewards and incents student success. So while we're not directive about how universities and community colleges spend resources, many of which are tuition based and generated at the campus level, we are responsible for determining how the state allocates whatever resources the legislature and the governor provide for it. We're also responsible, while we're on the resource question, we're also responsible for advising the governor and legislature on those funding levels. What will it take from the state in order to get us on that trajectory to 40-40-20? We're also responsible for approving new programs or significant changes to academic programs at community colleges and universities. So as we work to coordinate our public higher education system, we'll be evaluating those proposals as they come from the governing boards of Southern and Eastern and the other public universities, as well as community colleges, and attempting to ensure that we have a efficient and coordinated approach to serving students and reaching the state's goals.
Help people understand the structure that will exist as we move forward here. Because, for example, Melody Rose, who is the interim chancellor of the Oregon University system, just announced her departure to take a job as the president of Merrillhurst College. Was her job about to sunset anyway? Was there still going to be a chancellor?
Essentially, her job was about to sunset. On July 1st of 2015, when the new governing boards are operational at Southern and Eastern and Western and Oregon Tech, joining the new boards that are operational in less than a month at UVO, OSU, and PSU, there will be no more central system of public universities in the state of Oregon. There will not be a Oregon University system, except perhaps in name only. So, yes, the Oregon University system, the Office of the Chancellor, is winding down as its responsibilities get transferred, many of them, as you've suggested, to the institutions themselves, and some of them for the statewide coordination work to the HEC.
We are talking to Ben Cannon, the executive director at the HEC, the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Tim Nesbitt is the chair. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the changes coming to Oregon's higher education system. They are big changes involving lots more local governance for each campus. Our phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like there's been a fair amount of having to adjust to different situations because, I mean, we weren't even sure, I guess, until April or when the approvals came that the four smaller schools were going to have their own governing boards.
Yeah, it's been an amazing sort of year and a half of transition now as this new system was first designed and then adopted by the legislature and now begun to be implemented. And, of course, we still have another year plus of implementation to go, but there are just a huge number of transitions underway. High levels of partnership and coordination with all the entities involved, particularly the university campuses themselves, the chancellor's office, the HEC. The universities are in the middle of setting up a shared service enterprise that will inherit many of the back office administrative functions that the chancellor's office has historically played. So things like, you know, payroll services will continue to be operated at scale for many of the universities, even as a chancellor's office is winding down.
That answers the question about centralized services, things like purchasing. Will that be able to be done still across all seven campuses?
Much of it, yes. There will be more autonomy or more ability for individual campuses to say, hey, look, we have our own approach to this, so we're choosing not to participate. But many of the back office functions like purchasing, IT, payroll, will continue to be shared and organized, shared by six or seven campuses.
All right, the structure, certainly the idea of a local governing board is something that the University of Oregon sought first. I mean, but you got some resistance certainly from the smaller schools, Southern Oregon University included. And I guess the question would be for people who are looking at this from the outside, are there smaller schools being cut loose to fend for themselves, Tim Nesbitt?
No, not at all. And although there won't be a Oregon University system as an agency, we still want to make sure we have a systematic approach to coordinating the efforts of all of our universities. And in that sense, it will carry forward work I was part of 10 years ago when I was on the Higher Ed Board, where we adopted a portfolio model which recognized individualized missions for each of our universities. That will continue to be the case, and we're going to want to make sure that in order to achieve our goals, with 40-40-20 being the quantified representation of those goals, educational attainment generally for all Oregonians, every one of our institutions is going to have to succeed. Every one of our institutions is going to have to up its game. And we want to support that effort and encourage it, which is why we talk about both steering and cheering. Our job as a coordinating commission is to steer the efforts of our universities, and also to create a culture of college going in Oregon, college completion at our institution level, of coordination among our institutions, extending to community colleges as well. And so that's the challenge. It's a different approach, but it's one in which the importance and the roles of all of our institutions will be elevated.
I imagine hearing terms like "we'll have to up their game" puts a few people on edge thinking, oh boy, here we go again with do more with less. Is that part of what's being said here?
Yes and no. Let's give credit where it's due. Our universities have been up in their games over the last decade. They've been achieving in spite of disinvestment. They've been serving more students. They have been producing more degrees, although not in proportion to how many more students are showing up. So that's an area where we want to see improvement, and they do too. And a lot of good thought has been put into how we can get students more efficiently and expeditiously to completing degrees, because we can define success in a variety of ways. I think success is in large measure going to be determined by degree completion. But I think there's only one definition of failure, and that is a student who shows up, doesn't complete, leaves with debt, and is now paying off that debt and doesn't have a degree to show for it. Okay, we know what failure looks like. We want to make sure that the rate or the incidence of that experience is diminished and eliminated over time so that all students are succeeding.
Is it possible to hit the deadline, though, the 40-40-20 deadline? You're talking 2025, which is 11 years
away. See, that's the challenge. People have, in some cases, dismissed the 40-40-20 goals as aspirational. We're going to make them intentional, which means that when we present a budget request to the next session of the legislature for the next 2 years, we're also going to present a 10-year projection, kind of a stair step. If you think of a staircase, here's the amount of investment and improvement we're going to need over the next 2 years, and the 2 years after that, and the 2 years after that. And if we stay focused on that 2025 deadline and the goals of 40-40-20, and we don't take the as large a step up on that staircase as our best work tells us we should, then we're going to have to be honest about telling the legislature we've got a steeper step to take in the following 2 years. And that'll continue to frame our strategies and our funding requests.
We are talking about higher education in the state of Oregon undergoing big changes in the days and weeks and years ahead. Tim Nesbitt is the chair of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Ben Cannon, its executive director. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Dick in Phoenix dropped off a question. He wants to know what will happen to the nursing program. I assume he means the one at Southern Oregon University that is actually run by Oregon Health Sciences University. Any changes to that program that either one of you is aware of?
Certainly not to my knowledge. Nursing is a high-demand area. It's one where I know many of our universities and colleges that have programs are trying to figure out ways they can expand those programs to help meet more demand. It's certainly not on our mind as anything other than an area that should be that we should be looking for reinforcement from the state.
So for two decades plus, there's obviously been central control and organization and declining state funding. The central organization obviously existed long before that, but the state funding declining, what was the last number, about 12% state support for the universities? 12% of their budgets come from the state legislature? Is that about the number now?
I think that's right, and of course, that's factoring in all the dollars that come to the institutions, including dollars from out-of-state students who pay the higher tuition rates. So a lot of that... there's been outright reduction in state funding, and even when there's been increases in state funding, they've been overwhelmed by the numbers of students showing up. So the per-student state investment has declined even more, and that's something we're cognizant of, and that's something we're going to have to reverse.
All right. So given what's happening to the actual change in structure in the system, is there any reason to believe there can be more state funding? I mean, is that anything the legislature can make any promises on?
Well, promises are difficult to come by in a legislative setting, but I certainly, speaking from my own experience as a legislator and the kind of interactions that we have with legislators now, I believe there to be a high appetite for reinvesting in education generally and higher education specifically. I think that we have the opportunity, as Tim described, to really make the case, to say, look, legislature, we adopted this 40-40-20 goal. Here are the investments that will be necessary in order to put us on that path. And I think we'll be set up to have a really intentional conversation with them next time about that. part of what this new structure provides is the ability for a commission like ours, with its responsibilities for not only four-year public universities, but also community college funding and investment, also regulation and oversight of our private system, including career and trade schools that help produce 1 and 2 year certificates. Part of what we'll be able to bring to the legislature is a clearer sense of how to make those, not just what number of dollars it will take, but how our investments along that pathway, community colleges, dual credit with high schools, and four-year universities, can most effectively achieve those 40-40-20 goals. So it isn't just doesn't just feel to the legislators like it's going into a black box, but it's consistent with a overarching higher education plan developed by the HEC in conjunction with institutions and legislators for reaching the 40-40-20 goal.
So there's certainly opportunities here to be able to blend programs across what have been some fairly hardly drawn lines, you know, 2-year college, 4-year college, high school, et cetera. What about blending lines between in-person and online education? Is there much discussion about that thus far at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, Tim Nesbitt?
Yes, there has been, and I think we're seeing all of our institutions take the lead on that, some of them organizing it in a different way. OSU has gone very far in that direction. Eastern Oregon University has, for many years, depended on online learning and distance learning for its student body, which is quite dispersed around the state. We are seeing that, of course, nationally. There's still a lot of debate and a lot of analysis to be done about the effectiveness of an online learning setting. My own experience as somebody who has actually experimented with these Coursera courses and so on is that you can get some excellent delivery of education that way. It's certainly a good substitute for a large lecture hall, but it's probably no substitute for a seminar, and it would be hard to replicate what you can learn in a lab online. So I think it has its place, and it'll be an expanding place, and it should help to reach more students and to provide a more affordable package of education.
Just in terms of lines of responsibility now, I mean, Richard LaRiviere, for example, was fired, seeking greater autonomy for the University of Oregon, fired by the old State Board of Higher Education. Is that impossible under the autonomous systems you're creating now? I mean, would just the campus governing boards be the people to whom the presidents answer?
That's right. Under the law, the campus presidents will report to their institutional governing boards, which, of course, themselves are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. So they're not private boards in any sense. These are public boards that meet in public, that take public testimony, that follow public meetings law, are appointed by the governor, confirmed by the state Senate, but are fully legally responsible for the oversight, including hiring or firing of the presidents of the institutions.
I don't know how close you are to the process. Is there something of a scramble to find board members? Because, you know, have the four smaller schools, Eastern, Western, Southern, and Oregon Tech, all looking for their own governing boards. And I imagine in some cases they might be competing for some of the same people.
That may be true. I know having worked on this for the governor a year ago when we were putting together the U of O and OSU and PSU boards, it's an exciting process with a lot of interest and a real thorough vetting at the governor's office, and I expect that's going on now as the other four boards are being set up.
Does the legislation spell out where responsibilities begin and end? I mean, are there potential turf battles that could be set up between the Higher Education Coordinating Commission and the governing boards of the universities simply because there's not a clear spelling out in either legislation or subsequent rulemaking about who does what?
I can only speak to the experience that we've had in the year, the transition year that's underway now. And it's been very, very positive in terms of the kinds of conversations and relationships that the HEC, Tim, myself, and other members have built with these new governing boards at OSU, PSU, and University of Oregon. So to this point, that's been highly collaborative. There have not been, you know, turf battles per se. The law delineates very clearly which responsibilities the HEC has and essentially says everything else is the campus's. So I think we operate with at the outset with a pretty clear sense of where those boundaries and responsibilities are. I expect and frankly hope that there will be some creative tension around the universities and their boards and the breadth and of the missions that they're trying to serve, and then a state focus represented by the HAC on student success and completion, a lot of focus on undergraduate students and BAs. That's going to result in some – it has resulted in some interesting conversations, but it's characterized mostly by high degree of collaboration at this point.
So ultimately, it gets down to a student wondering, okay, I'm going to want to stay in Oregon after high school, and I want to go to one of the state schools. Can I, A, afford it? Can I, B, make sure that the program offerings I want that are there today, the reason I'm going to this school, will be there when my program is done? Tim Nesbitt, are you confident you can meet that challenge?
You just framed it very, very well, Jeffrey. Those are the kinds of questions that students and their parents should be asking. What's it going to cost? How will a student from my background and with my interests fare in this or that institution? And how am I likely to fare after graduation if I make this investment in post-secondary education? And the answer will lie not necessarily in one institution. As you look at whether it's the online learning options that might be sponsored by one institution and accepted as credit at another, when you look at the relationship between Rogue Community College and Southern and how students complete their first 2 years in a community college setting and move on to the university campus setting, we see a lot more mixing and matching. But what is hopefully going to appear to be a clear pathway to degree completion for students who are navigating that system, and it's our job to provide the information. This is our interface with the public at large, so that when they ask those key questions, they have a good basis of comparison. As it's a complicated world of post-secondary education, especially if you're not quite sure exactly what degree you want or what career you want to pursue. And we're hoping to provide the information and the clarity, and on the student choice side and on the institutional side, to make sure those pathways align well and you're not just bumping along and ending up in dead ends.
Tim Nesbitt is the chair of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Ben Cannon, the executive director. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the changes coming to Oregon's university system.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a short break and come back with Garrison Keillor.